amazing love. Do you know that God loves you, that He has a special plan for your life through His Word and by His Spirit? This program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
God's amazing love. He loves His children so much. It's hard for us to imagine the love of God. We see through a mirror darkly, but someday we shall see Him face to face. The divine nature of God is love. All-consuming love. Unconditional love. Amazing love. Oh, that I might know the love of God in Christ Jesus. That I might reflect His love to the world. His love doesn't expect anything at all for itself. God just gives and gives. In our love, we're so conditional. I'll do for you and you'll do for me. You'll give me this gift and I'll try to match the value. If some friend doesn't respond to a call, we're so easily offended, rejected by a look, a glance, a neglect. And yet God's love, it's so hard for us to understand that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. The Father sent the Son to die for us while we were in the midst of our sin. And yet we want others to respond to our love immediately, and if they don't, we feel rejected and we're angry and we get a little bit sulky and make inner vows, I'll never talk to them again, or I'll get even with them, or I'm not going to extend myself anymore. I'm going to stay home from church. I'm going to stay home from fellowship, or I'm not going to talk to that neighbor anymore. I'll walk on the other side of the street. Or we might choose to say, I'll smile and I'll be nice because I'm supposed to as a Christian, but they'll never get close to me again. I'll build a wall. How many walls do we have in our heart? We have fortresses. We have walls within walls within walls. And many of them we're not even conscious of. We started so young in our life. Psychology would call them defense mechanisms to protect the ego, to protect the great I am inside of me, and not God the Father, the great I am. So we live a life in a protectorate, and so many of our gestures, so many of our motions, so many of our words, our relationships are based on how defensive we feel. How hurt we have been. We want to know God. We want to know the love of God. But because we have been hurt by those that we love, those that are intimate with us, our parents, those that are in the circle of love that we have grown up with and the family of, those that have come into our life, and we have not been loved with a perfect love, we make inner vows and say to ourselves without remembering, I'll never be hurt again. And so we are only allowed to feel the love of God to the depth that we have forgiven others. Oh, how we need to enter forgiveness. And so much of our responses are based on those early judgments and those walls that we put up when we were very young, not even remembering anymore, unless the Holy Spirit brings them to our remembrance. So I can hear that God loves me, but inside of myself, does He really? Can I trust Him? If I really give myself totally to Him, what is He going to ask me to do? Is He going to use me? Will He put me someplace where I won't be happy? Will He ask me to do something that I'm not capable of doing? Maybe based on a memory, a response of a school teacher, a parent. We have been asked to perform beyond our ability and failed and feel like a failure. And so when we look at God the Father, we see Him through the eyes of our past experience and not through His Word. And His Word overcomes our past experience, but I'll never know that until I read His Word and I believe His Word. I have to believe that the Word of God is a mirror of who He is and who I am. I need to be reparented by God the Father. And this can only happen when I've asked Jesus Christ into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. That's the only way to Father's house. And then when I get to meet Father God, I want to look into His eyes and let Him tell me who I am. I want His Word to tell me who I am. And as I read His Word and He tells me of His love and His plan for my life, and by the Spirit of God, I start being taught. I need to let go of the past. I need to cry out, "Oh God, touch my heart. You know the walls within my heart. You know those walls that I have protected self with. You know how vulnerable I feel, so afraid of rejection. So afraid of being misunderstood. If you know me, will you love me?" And yet God, His eye is on the sparrow. He knows everything about us. He knows all our failures, all our faults, all our weaknesses, and yet He loves us anyway. But somehow in our humanness, we seem to put clothes on top of ourselves, thinking we're hiding from God. Self-deception at its worst. God sees right through. He knows our motivation. He knows the games we play with our mind and our heart. The games we play with others to protect self. And His heart cries out, "Trust me. Will you trust me?" The Word tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is the opposite of faith? Unbelief? Oh God, help my unbelief. Let me grow in faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not only hearing through our ear, but believing the Word of God. Believing that He loves and He cares, and He's calling us to a walk of faith. And He's saying to our spirit, "Trust me." God is not a man that He should lie. He will not betray us. He will not reject us. He is faithful. Yes, He is. When we're not even faithful, God is faithful. He's calling us to sonship. Reading from Romans 8th chapter, 22nd verse. It is plain to anyone with eyes to see that at the present time, all created life groans in a sort of universal travail. And it is plain, too, that we who have a foretaste of the Spirit are in a state of painful tension while we wait for the redemption of our bodies, which will mean that at last we have realized our full sonship in Him. We were saved by this hope, but in our moments of impatience, let us remember that hope always means waiting for something that we do not yet possess. But if we hope for something we cannot see, then we must settle down to wait for it in impatience. The Spirit of God not only maintains this hope within us, but helps us in our present limitation. For example, we do not know how to pray worthily as sons of God, but His Spirit within us is actually praying for us in those agonizing longings which never find words. And God, who knows the heart's secrets, understands, of course, in the Spirit's intention as He prays for those who love God. To know that God is maturing us through the Word and by His Spirit to grow up, to let go of the past, to let go of the past hurts, and even crying out when we pray, pray for ourselves. We see many times that we're called to pray for others, but there are times we need to pray for ourselves. If I'm all right and I'm in the right place with God, then I can really help others. To pray in the Spirit and believe that God is doing a work within us. I want to change. Do you want to change? I want to be healed. Jesus would say to us, would you be healed? He doesn't take it for granted because our spirit is wounded or there's a physical limitation. That's primary on our mind. First, I have to recognize the fact I have a problem that I do not trust. How can I pray in faith, believing for others or for myself if I don't trust God? Trust Him that He hears me, that He cares, and that life will change. When we come to Jesus, we all come with a certain amount of brokenness because of the fall, because of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect children. There are no perfect people. And because we live in an imperfect world, surrounded by those who are also imperfect. We wound each other, we bruise each other, because we are not walking in divine holy love as God planned in the beginning. To walk with God in the garden, face to face. And yet, God, by His mercy, is restoring us. We feel guilty, we're ashamed, but by His blood, we can come boldly before the throne of God as His sons. Reading again from Romans 8, 14th verse. All who follow the leading of God's Spirit are God's own sons. Nor are you meant to relapse into your old slavish attitude of fear. You have been adopted into the very family circle of God, and you can say with a full heart, Father, my Father. The Spirit Himself endorses our inward conviction that we really are the children of God. Think what that means. If we are His children, we share His treasures. And all that Christ claims as His will belong to all of us as well. Yet, we share in His sufferings. We shall certainly share in His glory. Life is not easy. The spirit of this world is the spirit of Antichrist. It is a spirit that would destroy love and holiness and righteousness and truth. And so we war in the realm of the spirit. God is calling us to a higher place. He's calling us to lay aside our sin, our guilt, our fears, and also our grievances. Many times we're angry with God and we're not even in touch with it. Why did this happen in my childhood? Why did you allow it, Father? Why was I brought up in this particular home and not in my friend's home, which was so much nicer, more peaceful? Why was my life like a bad dream? Why didn't I feel your love? Why did my father abandon us? Oh, we have so many questions. When we see him, we'll ask him, and I'm sure we're going to know immediately what the answers are. But to trust him right where we are, and to let go of the things that could have been, let go of the broken dreams, and not think about the past, missed chances, what my parents could have done and didn't do, what I should have done and didn't do. Live in the hour, live in the day. Follow Jesus now. Let the dead bury the dead. But as for you, you come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. God is calling a people unto his people to walk in the high places and let go of the past and let go of the hurts, let go of the violations. Cry out to the Father and say, heal me, O God, and I will be healed. God's nature is love. He loves his children. When you're born again by the Spirit of God, he looks at you, he sees his son. And he has such plans for you and for me. Wonderful plans, a wonderful future. Eye has not seen what God has for those that love him. To be as one among the stars, but also to know the goodness of God in the land of the living. To feel secure in him. To be at peace in his kingdom, not my kingdom. My kingdom did not work. My life was chaos. But in Christ, I have peace and I have joy in the Holy Spirit. and His righteousness. I can let go of the past. Are you willing to let go of the past? Allow God to heal you? It's like sometimes you see a child and has a little piece of a blanket that was so precious to him when he was an infant in the crib or in the bassinet. And 6 years later, he's still wanting his bottle, or maybe he's given up the bottle. Hopefully, he can't take it to school. But he's got that little piece of satin in his fingers that he rubs when no one's looking. And maybe he takes it to bed with him. He needs that security. God wants to be our security. Today we're always concerned about insurance policies and who's going to take care of me when I'm old. If we're not secure in Jesus, we have nothing. There is no emotional peace outside of Him. He promises to meet all our needs according to His riches and glory. I'd much rather trust in Him than a system that could fail. So I'd rather do what the Master calls me to do. Whatever Father wants, trust Him. Blessings follow obedience.
Heart. Lord, whatever you ask,
reading again from Romans 8, 18th verse. In my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of men coming into their own. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but because, in God's purpose, it has been limited, yet it has been given hope. And the hope is that in the end, the whole of created life will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and have its share in that magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God. To see with the eyes of God into the future. To live in the now, God is a God of the now. But yet our eyes are also on the future. Our hope is in Him. We shall be rewarded by Him. But not even to think of that, but just think of His love for you. What He has done for you, what He continues to do for you. The higher level of life that we can reach. We can take the highway of holiness. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done and thy thoughts towards me. There is none to compare with thee. If thou would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offerings thou hast not desired. My ears have been opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is written in my heart. My heart is to do the will of the Father. But I have to believe that He loves me. I have to trust Him. As I trust Him, as I allow the past to go, as I believe His word, and I'm obedient to the word, blessings follow. Choose to follow Jesus. Choose to be blessed. Choose to trust.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazinglovementries.org.